So, I had a little heartbreak this morning, Mike.
What happened?
Yesterday, as we were up at Flowery Branch in Beaufort, I stopped and I got some Liquid Death, which is water, and I got a couple of those jerky sticks. You guys saw me yesterday.
By the way, it's a very large jerky stick you were manhandling.
They really were. And while I was walking out of the store right there in Beaufort, I said, give me $5 in the Powerball. The guy goes, all right. You want individuals or you want it on one ticket?
Right.
I said, okay. One ticket. He gives me the Powerball tickets. I walk out the store. We go do the show at Flyer Branch. I don't even think about it, Mike. Right. I get up this morning, and I'm watching WSB, and they say, hey, the winning ticket of $478 million was bought in Beaufort. And I literally almost crapped myself.
Oh, my goodness.
So at this point, I'm going, what did I do with that ticket last night? Where did I put it? Is it my car? Did I bring it in the house? What did I do with this ticket?
I love how you're thinking you were the only one in Beaufort to buy a ticket.
Well, this is the deal.
But still,
I'm like,
I mean, but you got
what are
at
the
least,
odds?
I mean, first off, you got to be in it to win it. And, you know, of all the gazillion to one odds, you've just lowered them tremendously by being a guy who purchased a ticket in Beaufort.
Correct. I could have been in Marietta. I could have been on the south side. Beaufort. I was in Beaufort. I bought a ticket. Mike, so now I'm nervous. I'm
like, where's the ticket?
I'm like, where's the ticket? It would be my luck if I won this thing and I don't have the ticket. So I find the ticket. And now I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm scared to look at this thing because I'm like, is there any way that I could actually be
the
winner?
Let me just think for a second. The Mike Bell Show, my own show. My own show.
Is there any way that I could be the winner? So right. I've got the ticket. It's sitting on my desk this morning. Right. So I'm like,
check the numbers.
I'm talking to Frankie. I couldn't. I'm talking to the dog. I'm like, I don't want to look at these numbers. If I'm even close. So Mike, this is a true story, guys.
Right.
I go, all right, Frankie, I'm going to look at one of these numbers. It's just him and I. Mike, I had the Powerball number, which was 20. And I just look at that.
Oh.
So now I'm really freaking out, okay? Right. So I'm like, I've got the number. What else do I have? So now I'm super excited. Guys, I didn't win. But I got to tell you, you talk about heartbreak.
You make $2? You make $2?
I don't know what it was. I haven't turned the ticket in yet.
You get $2 on that.
But I had two of the numbers of the six. But when I saw that 20, I was like, there's no way. And it just plays with your head. But whoever won up there in Beaufort, congratulations.
Right on. And get a lawyer. And sometimes they lay low for a while and disavow all their family members who are going to have their hands out.
Would you? People come out of the woodwork.
I'd lose so many phone numbers in a heartbeat.
People come out of the woodwork. It's like, you don't remember me. No, I don't.
Yes.
No,
because I did see it. I always check. I play online. You can do it at the Georgia Lottery. You can do it sometimes if you don't make it to the gas station, which is generally I try to do it.
It's easy, right?
Yeah, you can do it at home. But I've made like $2 or $4 here and there. I look now, 2, 15, 27, 29, 39, 20. For me, though, I do the quick pick. And if I don't get one or two of the numbers that I've historically liked, which is generally a uniform number from one of my favorite players,
or you have your own
a year or something happened. So, yeah, I would never roll those numbers, but somebody did.
Me neither.
And I wonder if they actually took the time to pick them, or it was just simply the random selection.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, that random selection is even, the odds are more astronomical. Right. But, long story short, we break like an 8-year drought of winning the Powerball in the state of Georgia. It's the first time we won it, and somebody's won it here. So they won a lot. But, Mike, I thought I was on the cusp, and I couldn't find the ticket this morning. And then when I did, and I saw that 20, I was like, I need 5 more numbers.
You know, and my thing is, you know me, we've always joked around about, you know, I can never crap on a professional athlete, whether it's the NBA, the NFL, if he goes through his contract, because I'd blow through it like Brewster's Millions. But if I did win that money that you're talking about, I would have partnered up with whoever the lead dog is on this hockey team. And I would have come in. I would have spent like a
let's go
after, you know, after tax, whatever the number is. But I would have put
$200 million.
I would have put $100 million into a hockey team and have good seats and be the man.
You know what? You would have made that back in like 5 years,
hey,
right?
Carl,
easily.
If you had won, would you have at least fixed the mics in the studio?
You know what? It's a great question, though.
See,
it's a great question.
If I win the lottery, we're taking Hey Man nationally. Hey Man is going national after we fix the microphones and the talk back buttons here in the studio and get new chairs.
What else do we need?
That's about it. The lighting's been fixed.
Water.
We need water.
And then hire the guy to run the Twitch. You know, he's somebody for $15 an hour to run the Twitch. That thing was a nice get. That thing went away.
The world's best employee, Carl.
You know what? I would be. Yes.
By the way, the guy that we lost to CNN, did he get downsized at CNN? Can we get him back?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Great, man.
He was
Whispers
terrific.
Was great.
All right, you guys can hit us up, 404-726-0929. And by the way, if you hit the lottery, I hope that you're keeping that to yourself, to
right
Mike's
on.
Point. You know,
right
get
on.
Your people in order and then, you know, do what you need to do.
Right on.
Hey, man, coming up, we'll get to an NFL blitz. Yeah, Man, No Man's also on the way. And we'll hear from Kirby Smart coming up next hour as he stopped by the steakhouse. Right now, let's get to an NFL blitz. Yeah. He was playing with my emotions this morning. Dave Canales, he is the coach at Carolina, Mike, and he says that Young will start in the place of Andy Dalton. We talked about Dalton getting into a car accident. Mm-hmm. Luckily, nobody was severely injured, but Dalton has a thumb injury, and Canales announced this. And now, Mike, is this a chance for the young fella to get his job back?
Well, it would be a hell of a story if he could make things happen. I don't even know who the emergency quarterback is on that team. I don't know. Did they sign somebody off the practice squad?
Yeah.
Because on their depth chart, it just lists Dalton and Young. Either way. But good for – look. Take this opportunity and do something with it.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you don't want to be that guy. You know, and like we're seeing Sam Darnold getting that career resurgence. You know, we've seen Baker Mayfield have it happen. So it doesn't necessarily have to happen for you in Carolina. But something positive has to happen for Bryce Young in that uniform, right?
No doubt about it. Panthers, Broncos this weekend. Let me hear Dave Canales.
Scary moment for sure. Everyone was okay. Everyone's healthy. Unfortunately, in the accident, he did sprain his thumb. So Bryce will be playing this week, and we'll be evaluating Andy day-to-day going into this weekend to see if we can get him up as the two on game day.
Now, they've been bad. We know that. They're 1-6. They are vying, let's be honest, for the first overall pick again in this draft. But it doesn't mean that you don't want to see development in Bryce Young. We feel like, I do, Mike, I feel like they made up their mind. This is not going
to
be.
They cut bait.
This is not going to last. And even if he plays well, guys, the only thing that it might do is maybe potentially increase his trade value if you wanted to do that.
He was so accurate in college. I thought the comp team would have been like a Drew Brees, you know, a little undersized, but you know, not like a mobile guy. Not even close. Like maybe it helps. It happens somewhere else. How many guys out there have Tyreek Hill on your fantasy team?
He hadn't done anything, has he?
No. He's averaging 3.5 catches for 35 yards a game in the 4 games since Tua has gone out with a concussion. So nobody's more excited than Tyreek to get back in the mix. Needless to say, they've had a couple of tomato cans throwing the football down there in Miami. And now it's just a matter of Tua. Who's going to out there in the football world is going to get mad at Tua or call him up, whatever, if he sees pressure coming and just gets down? The way Brady did the last 6 years of his career.
Nobody.
Just got to avoid the contact, man, and Dolphins get back. I think the Dolphins can still get back on track.
Oh, I do too. From one wide receiver to another, Davante Adams was talking about he's not the savior for the Jets, Mike. They made the trade.
It ain't me, babe.
Yeah, he's now with his boy and Aaron Rodgers, but don't put that pressure on me, will you?
You know, I'm not here to be the savior. Everybody was looking, you know, the whole world. Trump was at the game. I don't know if that's because of me or not, but, I mean, everybody's sitting here expecting it to be, you know, me go out there and put up 200 yards and 3 tugs, but, you know, that's a storybook ending to it, and obviously that would have been amazing if that happened, but I'm here to help shift this culture more than anything. You know, I can go out there and make the plays that I can make and try to, you know, influence guys, you know, as much as I can, but I'm trying to enforce a winning mindset on these guys.
Okay.
All right. But he still needs to catch touchdowns.
Yes. So. I mean, well, like, they got to figure it out quick because it will get to a point of no return for the Jets in that AFC playoff picture. You're right about that. Funniest quote, maybe later in the show we'll get the audio, unless Chris has it. I didn't see it on the cut sheet. But hear Patrick Mahomes talking about his dad bod?
Yeah, when he ran over the DB last weekend.
I love that. He goes, actually, I was not trying to lower my shoulder. I was trying to absorb the hit. I knew I was going to be hit right there, and my dad bod, man, I just had enough weight on me where he went down. So basically, Patrick Mahomes saying it was the extra weight and padding of his dad bod which helped propel him through the end zone.
Well, first of all, if you watch that, you're going, no, don't do it. He lowers his shoulder, and the last thing you want to see is your quarterback trying to run over anybody, and then when he runs him over, you're like, yeah, go ahead and do that. I mean, it was like so unexpected, Mike.
Also had his longest run from scrimmage in his career in that game, which is crazy.
Yeah, it really is. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game. Guys, we've got a pair of tickets to Winterfest, the all-white affair. We've got another pair today to give away. Escape, BBD, Q Parker and Friends, Carl Thomas, Soul for Real, Silk. There's more to be announced. The concert itself is December 20th, 8 o'clock at State Farm Arena. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. We'll give you a pair between now and 7 o'clock. Hey, real quick, Lamar. I've been talking about him all week. because, guys, he's playing better than anybody right now at the quarterback position. He's on pace, Mike, to become the first NFL player to throw for over 4,000 yards and run for over 1,000 yards in the same season. First. He ranks fifth in passing yards behind Kirk Cousins, believe it or not, with 1,810 yards, but 455 yards rushing.
Right.
He's 11th in the league out of everybody through week seven, and it's made him the favorite to win his third MVP. Now, we know, listen, Peyton Manning won multiples, right? Brett Favre won multiples. We've seen this happen, but I don't think anybody really expected Lamar to be playing as well as he is right now.
The closest that Mike Vick came, it was 2,400 passing yards.
Okay.
That Mike ran for 1,000. And that was back in 2006. We didn't make the playoffs that year, ironically. But this is, I mean, history-making because you think about all the dual-threat quarterbacks that are now in the NFL and Lamar. And maybe now it's the second year with Monk in there. They're totally locked in. And Monk, certainly with Derrick Henry, they got the right plan. He's just the big giant monkey on his back is the same thing Steve Young dealt with, is winning that big playoff game and getting to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, they had the AFC Championship game last year. It's getting to the Super Bowl and winning it. I agree with you. Hey, one last thing. Kevin Stefanski, Mike, the Browns are a mess. Talking about wanting to improve. We know Jameis is going to start for them now moving forward. Deshaun Watson is done for the season. Mm. Here's their head coach talking about their situation.
I'm very confident, Ken, and I'm very confident in our offensive staff. I feel that this is, when you're talking about playing good football and putting game plans together, it's never one person's job. It's really a collaborative effort. So I have a ton of faith in all of our coaches. Ken calling the plays doesn't change that collaborative approach. Every single week I'm looking at things that we can do better and we need to improve. Felt like this is the right move for right now.
Feel bad for the guy because it kind of feels like the first step to adiosville, you know, for Stefanski. maybe the best for him, get back to being an OC.
Adiosville. Yes. Sounds like one of those commercials from Dr. Pepper.
It's a one-way ticket to adiosville, amigo. Yeah. And finally, Jaden Daniels, those ribs aren't getting better. Looks like he's not going to play. He was not at practice today for the Commanders.
That means Mariota, Mike.
Mariota actually did really well last week, believe it or not.
He did. Hey, coming up, it feels like they're going to be better. But are they really? We'll get into it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. If you're new to the show, we say, hey, man, our beer is Hey Man L, and you can get it at any Publix in the state of Georgia, also your local package stores. The original OG 5% blonde alcohol beer is delicious. Of course, we've got the watermelon lime. But, Mike, as we run into people, some people say, hey, I've been trying to find it. And, again, just let us know where you're at, and we'll try to get you the store location where you need to go.
We had a dude hit us up on social media the other day. He said, man, I drove all the way to a certain place, and they were out of it.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah.
like, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. We called the brewmaster. He's going to get on it.
Yeah.
Taylor make more.
That's true.
Georgia Crown, by the way, Carl's right. Just ask wherever you buy your booze, hey, man. Get it for me. And they may say, well, can you commit to a case? As we say on Dukes and Bell, if you don't like it, we'll finish it.
Yes, we will. We will do that for you. But, yeah, man, and by the way, you know, the deal with that is, Mike, to your point about going somewhere and then they don't have it, that means it's a hot product. And that's not our fault. I mean, we love that, but the fact is if you go somewhere and they tell you, yeah, we carry it, and then you get there and it's not there, it just means it's a hot product, all right? Hey, man, this hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. So, yeah, man, no man's coming up. Real quick, as we were talking about the Hawks last night, they want to know, listen, gather as many wins early as you possibly can. Guys, you know how the season goes. It can be crazy. Last night, Mike mentioned DeJounte Murray hurt, broke hand, first game of the season. He's going to be out multiple weeks for New Orleans. I mean, you just don't know how this stuff's going to shake out. But, Mike, I said it feels like, from what we saw last night, they're going to be better. I don't know over the long term of the season, but what we thought about Dyson Daniels, we saw it last night. Defense, he was playing on both ends. He was scoring 15 points. What we thought about, you know, Jalen Johnson and his playmaking ability. And then Rishai Shea, he didn't start the game, but you get a sense that the kid can play, Mike, and he's so young, he's going to come into his own.
Right. Now, like, he made the first bucket, and then it was kind of like, you know, I felt bad for his parents because they were like ooh and on at every shot that wasn't dropping. They had that shot last night on FanDuel TV, by the way. But, yeah, it's early days. They got a bunch of, you could argue, favorable matchups. You know, you got the Wizards, you got the Hornets.
Yep.
You know, they do have to go to, I think, Minnesota. I mean, they got some games. Oklahoma City early on the road this year. But you're right, man. It's kind of like a microcosm, though. They had some lapses with their spacing on their perimeter defense, which allowed for some easy three-point shots, and that's kind of what kept Brooklyn in this thing late, the way I saw it. But I loved, and we started the show talking about Okongwu. And it's funny because just yesterday we were talking about Onyeka, and I'm saying, I think his ceiling is, we kind of seen it. And boom, he, look, I'm not expecting 28 every night, as you said, but man, if he gets closer to that, now you're validating what was a 6 overall pick.
Yeah. And Jalen, by the way, a double double last night, 11 points, 10 boards, 4 assists, 1 block, 3 steals. That's affecting the game. Like, again, then every night, Jalen, he's probably going to be, as that number goes up, Mike, he's a 20-point-a-night guy. But those are the kind of stat lines that you want to see. So, for right now, all right, we'll reserve judgments. It's one game. But they showed a little toughness in a game that nobody expected anything like that to happen. Right. They showed that they could get steals and play defense when they needed to. Mike, you said it, the lapses in defense late. But Cam was just hitting shots, man. This guy was on
Cam
fire.
Cam Thomas, LSU kid.
He was, yeah, he was just knocking down shots like crazy. So sometimes you have no answers for that. But I am more concerned, or at least curious, about the bench. What's this going to look like with this rotation? Again, Bogey and O'Shea, that is, and Okongwu all came off the bench, Mike, last night. Veet played a little bit. What's this going to look like? Is that going to be the rotation normally?
Well, I mean, it's early days, and, you know, we'll have to, I think only time will tell is what, you know, Quinn's got up his sleeve, but it's not exactly the deepest bench. There were some injuries last night. You know, the backup point guard was out. Bufkin was out, right? I got that right.
He was.
And the rest were just, you know, DNP on the coach. So we didn't get a chance to see Larry Nance Jr., we were saying, because he got anything in the tank for us. But, hey, man, this team, if you can just come together defensively, and I think Trey, you said this earlier, Trey just looked like he's happy. And I know that it was, we had all these listeners. Everybody was armchair psychologists. Everybody, I guess you apparently brought a drill to State Farm, and you had a listening device because you could tell us what was. Yeah, guys say one thing to the media, but the other thing is the reality. Trey was never happy playing with DeJounte. He played nice when I'm one man's opinion, when Nate went out there and they said, hey, we were thinking about trading for DeJounte. Can you guys coexist? Trey said, sure. And then sure enough, no. And so now Trey's back to just running the show. And he's that kind of guy. As Capella said yesterday, he played with Harden back in the day.
Yeah.
We're not comparing Trey to Harden, but, you know, shooter's got to shoot and the guy's got to have the ball in his hands.
30 points, almost 50% from the field, 7 to 16. Knocked down a few threes. Mike, 14 of 16 from the free throw line.
How about that?
That's Trey. That's vintage Trey. Getting to the line, getting to the basket, and going to the free throw line, you know, 10 times a game. So 5 rebounds, 12 assists, 1 block. Guys, that's who Trey has been. When we talk about who he is and, like, why I've told you he is a guy that if you put the right pieces around him, you can get there, he can do this on any given night. Honestly, but I also think, Mike, he's healthy. At the end of the season, we saw that hand bother him.
Right.
He wasn't right. And so, you know, when we were talking about the play-in and all that stuff, now he's back to being healthy. But he made that look easy last night. I'll just be honest with you. Like, he scored that 30, and it was like, how many? He could have 40 if he wanted it.
And we talked earlier, for guys who missed it, about, you know, our first look at Dyson Daniels, who actually did a really nice job of representing Australia in the Paris Olympics. And then we also found, you know, his defensive mentality extends to not taking any bull from a bunch of knuckleheads, because Nick Claxton's, like, coming at him, and then he's like, hey, where are you going? And then he basically, as you said, chases him out the tunnel as Claxton gets teed up.
He had 5 steals last night. Is that right? I'm looking at this. I mean, that's Mike, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, 5 steals. Jalen had 3. He had 5.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So Dyson Daniels, for all the talk about us being better defensively, we're just laying it out for you. We'll see what they do against Charlotte tomorrow.
And I know the plus minus, it's kind of like hockey. Sometimes it doesn't tell the whole story, but Dyson Daniels was plus 7 last night.
Yeah. And guys are hitting me up on social media. Follow Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. And they were just saying, hey, it looks like it's going to be better. Hopefully it is. But at the end of the day, you know what comes down to? Defense at the end of these games, Mike. And if you can get stops, then we'll be in a better spot than we were last year. Hawks win 120-116 last night against Brooklyn in their opener. All right, we got plenty more to dive into. 4 o'clock hour, we'll get into some college football. Things are getting interesting around the college football landscape. Also, Kirby Smart stopped by the steakhouse. We'll let you hear what he was talking about. Coming off the big Texas win, Florida's next. We'll spend a lot of time next week on Florida. The cocktail party. Listen, dogs are going to be favored, Mike, I think, in every game moving forward. They went on the road. They were the underdogs.
Right.
That will not happen again for the rest of the season.
It's just a matter of how does Nico Iamaleva, I guess. I was doing really well with this when we talked to Pollock last week. Oh, you butchered that name. Like, I thought I had all the pronunciations right. But anyway, is it Nico or Carson? Who's going to, you know, be more dopey when it comes to turning the ball over when they play Tennessee? That looks like the biggest challenge, I think, for most dog fans' minds.
Absolutely. And Mark Rick also weighed in on the controversial call at Texas. We'll let you hear what he had to say. But when we come back, yeah, man, no man. Coming up, matchups, dogs are off this week, but we will see who is able to survive and advance and continue their quest to be a part of the 12-team college football playoff. We'll break that all down for you and Georgia Tech as well, but before we get to that, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on? Happy Thursday, my man.
Yes, sir. Well, it is a happy Thursday, and I'll let you hear why in just a second. I have found Trae Young's biggest supporter, and you guys are going to hear from him right now. His name is the White Mamba, Brian Scalabrine. This is what he had to say.
I think the best offensive player in the NBA, like a guy that every kid should watch and every kid should emulate, I don't care if you're fucking 6'10 or you're 5'10, is Trae Young. My son loves Steph Curry, but my son is not Steph Curry. Trae Young, his footwork is perfect. His handle is perfect. His efficiency is perfect. When I go to my son, I'm like, listen, you shouldn't watch Steph Curry. Like, that's otherworldly. You can't even teach that. But what you really should do is watch this guy. So, like, he's just glued to it. Trae Young, Trae Young, Trae Young, Trae Young. And so that's amazing how he can watch hours of Trae Young.
That's cool. And something we've said before the Olympics where, you know, Trae should be a bigger brand. And at some point, you know, you got to stop being in a team which is in playing games because otherwise he's never going to be able to build. Now, I know he's renegotiating a new shoe deal he's done with Adidas, but getting back to him being that brand, Carl, that's great to hear somebody at least who's got a podium to say something like
that. Well, listen, offensively, I've always thought that Trae is special. The issue has been shot selection and timing of those shots, right? Part of that is, look at his career. Early on, he wasn't playing on anybody. When the team got good, he wasn't taking all the shots. He was still giving you 12, 15 assists a game when they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, but he was making the big shots that mattered. And then, Mike, as of late, I really can't explain to you. It's not like Trae's falling off offensively. He is a special talent there. There's no doubt about it. But his ability to distribute is why we drafted him. Like, Travis Link said that from day one. Like, he gets other guys involved and makes them better. And I don't know if he gets enough credit for that.
Maybe, you know, part of the things that used to drive us crazy the last 2 years where, you know, when Trae's on the floor and maybe it was DeJounte fatigue. Well, Trae would cross the half court like, boom, and put it up.
Yes.
And sometimes we'd be like, no. You know, you got a lead. You know, let's say you get like a one or a two possession lead and you're shooting, you know, like 3 seconds into the 24-second clock, whatever it was. That's the kind of stuff that used to drive us crazy.
It did.
You know, because you should know better. But, you know that it's going to go in most of the time. But I'm just curious to see if it's just it's a happier, more involved Trae just because of the dynamic of the half court with DeJounte no longer here. We'll find out.
Yeah. One game in, I mean, so far so good. We'll see. 81 to go.
Well, we are playing some crappy teams.
Yeah,
I know the rest of the NBA would say, well, technically we're a crappy team, but you know we do have a couple with the Wizards. We got Charlotte, I think. You know, so there's you could argue get a nice momentum going for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, well, some would argue that the 35.5 win total says everything that you know.
Over, guys,
how they view this team.
Over,
I know. Next game, by the way, is the Hornets, and then they go on the road to the Thunder at OKC.
Well, that'll be your first test right there.
Yep.
All right, so this is interesting. Adam Silver came out and said, we didn't play nice with Warner Brothers because they didn't play nice with us.
Oh.
This is the quote.
Wait, what did Commissioner Nosferatu have to say?
By the way, the Nosferatu movie that's coming out looks amazing. Side note. Quote, it wasn't a long-time relationship with the people currently running Warner Brothers Discovery. Ideally, in these partnerships, people aren't pulling out the contract and saying, check page 8, paragraph 3. You're saying you understand the spirit of what you're both trying to accomplish and that you're willing to adjust based on changes that might have been unpredictable. So Adam Silver basically saying, Warner Brothers Discovery, not playing ball. No more NBA for you. Yeah, man, no man. You like it?
Well, without having access to the actual contract, Carl, I don't feel that I can make an educated comment on, I don't know. Did Turner Warner slash Warner Turner just totally misplay their hand on this? At the end of the day,
I think, and I was just trying to see, Mike. I'm trying to go back to, I think it was the president or the CEO of Warner when he said basically that basketball wasn't important.
David Zaslav,
when right. he said the NBA wasn't important, and that they didn't need the NBA, right? And that's when you start saying, okay, time out. Obviously, you have a preconceived notion about what this is. This is what the commission is talking about. When you go back to the Coonans of the world and guys that had been at TNT and understood what that was about in these negotiations, you had people you had worked with for a long time. Mike, when you have these buyouts, and that's what happened, right? Warner Brothers bought them, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, do we need this? What are we looking at? It's simply about bottom line. The crazy thing is, you know, they're still investing in sports. It's just not the NBA. So I think David's idea was, the chief executive officer of Warner Brothers, when he said that, I think this deal went south to begin with. Mm. And so that's when the NBA was like, cool, we've got other options. And by the way, the NBA still made out like a bandit. I hate it because I love Chuck and all the guys at TNT, and what's that going to look like down the road? But Mike, they're making more money. It's a bigger deal than they've ever had. They're on more platforms than they've ever been on. The NBA still made out, even though they're not with Warner Brothers anymore.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you got to know how to, I mean, like, That's a stupid thing to say. That's about as dumb as, like, who's that guy? Was it Perlmutter that they fired over screwing up Marvel for Disney?
That's right.
And just kind of said some of the dumb things, and just the vision wasn't there. So, yeah, and especially now with the news division struggling like it is, I mean, I have to tell a lot of our listeners who work for CNN and everything, yeah, just you got to have something to hang your hat on, right?
You got to have something. Yes, Mike.
I just hate, look, at the end of the day,
you know what, though?
It just sucks. We've already covered it. It's the last year we're going to get to watch, you know, the NBA and TNT, like, as we remember it, and then we'll see where it goes.
But think about HBO, right? HBO has built its foundation on unique programming.
Right.
Right? The shows that we've
taking some risks, but, I mean, the quality is there year after year.
It's not the old movies they're showing, guys. Right. You can get that anywhere now.
It's the original program.
Correct. And that is what they built. So, you know, if I get HBO, I might come across a show that I like. I don't know, Game of Thrones. Oh, Sopranos. Oh, Sex and the City. You got to have something to hang your hat on. But, yeah, I think that's where it went bad, Turtle, and there was no returning from that.
All right, so one more before we get out of here. Much as we were joking around at the beginning of the hour about some things that a squeaky wheel gets the grease, so to speak, about some things that need sprucing up around the office, Pat McAfee took that to a much grander scale. Apparently, ESPN is not playing so nice when it comes to giving him NBA insiders. Oh. Pat McAfee came out and said, quote, I need NBA experts for the program, not every day, just someone to FaceTime periodically through the season.
Doesn't seem like a rational request.
I will pay because I pay everybody for their contributions on the show. When licensing
he's got it.
Through ESPN.
Surprised he's not getting NBA analysts on a regular basis, considering he's paying.
We thought it'd be pretty easy to get NBA folks from the ESPN roster, but that has not been the case.
Huh. Do they feel there's an agenda on the McAfee show that doesn't align with theirs?
Well, listen, the football stuff is one thing, right? He's got those connects. That, to me, is probably easier. But I don't know. I mean, that is interesting. Hold on.
There are no more NBA experts at ESPN. They've all left. Or not been retained.
Oh, but yes.
Yeah, now I see where the problem lies.
You've been let go. Here's the other part. Behind the scenes, does management really agree with McAfee? Do they really dig what's going on? I'm asking you guys.
I'm just saying
that this is rumorville, all right? I don't know if it's happening.
But you knew. We talked about this when it went down. There was always that sort of, you know, two schools of thought at ESPN. That one was vehemently against Pat McAfee. And one that wasn't. But I got to be honest.
Why make it difficult for the guy you want to make a star?
You gave him the money. Reinforce it. Don't go against it. But that just shows you there's still agendas in the palace, right, that up in Bristol. Yep. Because at the end of the day, like I'm out of the demographic now, but younger guys, the Barstool Sports generation, they enjoy it. You know, I'm not going to say it's dumbing down. It's just different. But when he's on, when he was out there for Oregon, Ohio State, he goes, you're out here amongst the big trees, maybe smoking some big trees. The crowd goes bananas. He's saying stuff you're just not getting anywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Sometimes not having a filter goes sideways for him, but it's still entertaining for the majority of their audience.
Oh, if we offer up some of our insiders here, do you think they fix the microphones for us?
This is going to be a running joke, isn't it? I mean, you do make a valid point.
Yeah. By the way, today I've hit my button to talk to Oren 7 times today, and the funny thing is I get like 15 seconds into my train of thought realizing, and I'm like, why isn't Oren acknowledging? Just he can't hear me.
Yeah. Well, listen.
It's an important part of the radio process.
I think I brought this up. When did I bring this up, guys?
I think 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. So I you know.
Guess what we have on Monday?
Who?
An all staff meeting.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. Well,
make a note. Make some notes.
Yeah. Maybe that will get addressed.
Well, if you guys remember to close this loop real quick before we go. The last time.
Oh, by the way, are you and I both going to speak, or are you going to let me hang myself like I often do?
Bring in a yellow notepad, yellow legal pad just full of notes.
Listen, you guys know what's going to happen. Abe's going to beat us to the punch. I've got something to say.
That's
and
true.
Abe will ask this question about the talkback or whatever, and he'll beat us there before we actually get a chance to ask it. But either way, I don't care who asks it. Let's get it fixed. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say,
Charlie? Well, speaking of Odyssey NBA insiders, remember the last time we brought on Nick Friedell? He basically burned down the entire city. So right. I don't know if we're going to be doing that again.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, killing Trey. Right, yeah, oh, yeah. People Trey, are going to march on the station.
Yeah, not sure about that. All right, we got to run. Oren, hit my music.
I love how Oren has a running theme today. It's like, oh, by the way, is that going to get this fixed? Does that mean we're going to get this? Hey, man, coming up, Mark Richt. We love Coach Rick. And, he's suffering from Parkinson's. We know this. But he's doing good. But he was asked about the controversy at Texas with UGA. We'll tell you about that. And also, the big game this weekend that you should be paying attention to that I bet you're not even thinking about. Next.